Okay. Well, what do we think to our guest worship leaders? Yeah, there we go. I'm glad you clapped. That could have been awkward otherwise. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. So just put your hand up if you know what a facial steam is. Really? That's a lot of guys there. Put your hand up if you've had, apart from Brian, of course, if you've had a facial steam. Yeah, so standing near a kettle doesn't count. Okay. All right. Go. So I find that strangely reassuring that there's less hands at the end there. That's great. So we'll chat later, Brian. I'll be interested to know what's involved in that. So my name's Mark. I'm one of the leadership team. And I'm not filling time. I want to get on with my talk now. And so I think that we've got the opening slide about to appear. As part of our devoted series, we've been looking at the early church in the book of Acts. And it's my privilege to speak on the subject of unity today and how that might have played out then and what it might mean to us now. We need to remember where we're joining this part in the story of God's plan to redeem mankind. So what we've got here is that Jesus has been, God has sent his son, his perfect son, to the earth, and he's lived a holy life. He said some radical, outrageous things, and he's been butchered and tortured and killed. He's then risen to a new life, and God has sent the Spirit of Christ to the earth, and the Spirit of Christ has touched the hearts of the disciples. They've been commissioned by Christ to go and make disciples. Go and change the world, he said to them. And here's the power to do it. Ready, steady, go. And it's at the go that we joined them here in the story. And we're looking at what they were devoted to and what the products of that devotion was. So we should have heard these scriptures a few times over recent weeks, but let's hear them again. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who was in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added daily to the number those who are being saved. Fantastic. A great passage and a really interesting piece of scripture sitting there in the early part of the book of Acts and the Acts of the Apostles. So today I want to talk about the aspect of unity that emerges from this. The disciples, the people of God, were together. They were united. They were joined. They had everything in common. They were of one heart and of one mind. They were united. And I want to suggest to you today that unity is good, but that there are some obstacles. And also there are some solutions to those obstacles as well. And that's really the three elements I want to talk about. So let's get going. What's good about unity and what is good about being together? Well, first of all, unity blesses us. Being together, being connected to those around us is good for us. The book of Ecclesiastes says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Verse 9. Two have a good return for their work. Being connected with others, working together, has a higher level of productivity. Or in Bible terms, it's more fruitful. We want to be productive. We want to be fruitful. We know we have a commission. We know we've got a job to do. We know we've been told by Jesus, go and make disciples. Go and make a difference. Defend the poor. Defend the weak. Look out for families. Look out for orphans. Look out for widows. There's work to be done. And we do that better in unity. We do that best in collaboration. We do that best working together. The great picture of a collaborative job being done was when God made Adam, Garden of Eden, needed tending. It's not good to be alone. He wouldn't have done a good job by himself. So along came Eve, because two are better than one. Whoever that might be. We've heard stories here. Ian coming and saying, I was out sharing the gospel with Emma. Two are better than one. It is good to work together. Our productivity goes up. We have a commission. We need to be united. It's good for our productivity and for our fruitfulness. Verse 10 says, if one falls down, there's somebody there to help him up. Do you know what? I have fallen in so many, I would say so many arenas of my life, but I don't think there's any that I haven't stumbled and fell in. And I know that I need people around me. And I stay down longest when I'm down by myself. That's the reality of it. And you might have made a mistake. You might have stumbled. You might have tripped through no fault of your own. Maybe in the workplace, something's gone wrong for you. Maybe in your academic studies, things aren't working out or haven't worked out for you. Maybe in relationships, things haven't worked out. You find yourself on your knees. Maybe in issues of personal integrity, things you know and believe to be right, and you've let yourself down. Maybe in your health, through no fault of your own, you found yourself on your knees, physical health or mental health. It is very hard to get back up by ourselves, but two are better than one. And if we're down, we need somebody to help us up. And what's more, maybe you don't feel like you're down in any area. Maybe you haven't stumbled. Maybe you're not down at the moment. I guarantee you're sitting very close to somebody who is. And maybe they need you to help them up. That happens when we're united. That's what happens when we're close enough to know that somebody's down. When we're close enough to be down and say, hey, I'm down. I need some help getting up here. That's what unity, togetherness, connectedness does for us. Togetherness, connectedness, unity keeps us warm. Two are better than one. It keeps you a whole lot warmer. And so there's many things we can grow cold with. Often our passion and our commitment. I'm talking about getting cold. Andy's putting his jumper on. Thank you for illustrating the point. Just cuddle Emma because two are better than one. Okay, share that blanket. Okay. Oh, it's a shawl. Sorry. There we go. Let's keep moving. Do you know, I know that my relationship with God, you know, I stand and worship him, but I know, and you may know, that relationship with God can be a hot and fiery one, and sometimes things can cool down. I know that I'm blessed to be married and spend time with Sarah because she encourages me to stay hot and on fire for God. I know that my journey with Jesus started many years ago when I was just a boy. I was about 23, and that looks like just a boy from where I'm standing. And Andy invited me to have breakfast with him, and I used to go around on my motorbike. Do you remember that? And we'd have breakfast together and read from some funny big green book. I don't know what it was, but we'd share that. And he would encourage me in my faith, and that helped me, because by myself it wouldn't have happened. Two are better than one. Unity and connectedness is good for keeping us hot and passionate, dedicated to pursue the dreams that we may have. Our passion, our vision, our direction in life. What are you going to do with your life? What difference are you going to make? What impact are you going to have on the world? Those passions and dreams, that fire, we need others to keep us warm and hot and focused in those areas. Two are better than one. You know, I know the impact that anxiety, that fear can have on passion towards something. I've got this thing where I quite like, I enter these races where you swim in lakes, right? And last summer, myself and Neil entered a 10K race in Loch Lomond. And that for us is distance, is like a long way for us and would be difficult for us to achieve. So when we got there, I always book this sort of thing from the comfort of my lounge on a warm evening. And it always seems like a good idea at the time. But I always wish I wasn't doing it when I get there. And I arrived the day before and I looked at the lake and I thought, that looks really cold. And I'm not sure I'll be able to last. Those waves look really big. And I was like, I think the wind's going to get up. And I couldn't stop checking the weather forecast. And just all this stuff was consuming me. And anxiety was winning the battle. And I knew it was. And I didn't like it. But there was nothing I could do about it. And then we spent, you know, the night before. And then got up the next morning. And I spoke to Neil, right? We'd both had a really bad night's sleep. One of us had the sweats, the other one had the runs. I can't remember what way round it was. Right, thank you. And yet, right, just getting up and saying, this is how I'm feeling. This is how I'm feeling. And the anxiety just drops down a couple of notches. Just sharing the fear, the anxiety. And instead of wanting to quit, instead of praying it would be cancelled, instead of not wanting to take part in the race, I was keen to continue. And actually, we had a good time. Thing is, I know that I've pulled out of a load of different races in life, things I should have been pursuing, things I've been called to do, things I've committed to do. Now, I've not fulfilled that, I've not gone through with that because I've kept to myself, kept my mouth shut, my heart closed, and I've let anxiety or fear get to me. The number of times I should have turned to others and said, I need you. I just want to tell you how I'm feeling to a brother or a sister in Christ who can encourage me in what I'm doing. How many races have you stopped running? What's been placed in your heart that says, yeah, go do it, and you've been committed to do it, but the fire's dropped off because of fear or anxiety? When what you needed is somebody alongside you, somebody connected enough for you to share that with and encourage you and stoke that fire again. How many people in your world have quit a race where maybe you or I could have encouraged them and say, hey, I'm feeling the same, but let's do it anyway. We have a responsibility and a duty and an opportunity to and for one another to keep the fire alive and make a difference. Hebrews says this, let us consider how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds, to do the job, but we can't do it unless we're together. Unity is good for us. It blesses us. Blesses others as well. John 3:35 says, new command I give for you. I think it's 13:35. New command I give to you. Love one another, Jesus says to the disciples. That way, people will know that you are mine. You know, we believe in sharing the gospel. We've had life stories, great stories of sharing the gospel. The greatest testimony that he's alive is that people love one another and are connected in heart and soul. So that is a challenge. In many ways, it's easier to go and tell somebody about the gospel on the street than it is be really genuinely heartfelt connection with a brother or sister around you. But that's where the challenge is. That's where the beauty is. And that's where the opportunity is. Thirdly, unity, it blesses the Father. This is what Psalm 133 says. How good and pleasant is it when brothers live together in unity? I used to be surprised as a child when we'd gather as a family, we'd play a game, and my nan wouldn't want to take part in Twister. All right? She'd be 85. Why aren't you playing? But I'd get her to get on her hands and knees. But anyway, she would often say, no, I'm happy just to watch. And as my parents got older, they wouldn't perhaps join in the game, but they'd be happy just to watch. And I didn't fully understand that. I thought, why wouldn't one of you take part? Are you not bored? But they would never be bored. They were happy to watch the children playing nicely together. And now, as though I don't look it, as an older guy, I see my family playing together. I found a picture of the three kids playing in the sea when they were little ones. And I thought, oh, I could get that, but I haven't got it. And then I got an older one of them playing in the sea. Older, what a great contrast. But I thought I might get in trouble for the bikini photos, so I didn't do that. I've just trodden on a box. Is that all right? Thanks. Thank you, brother. Okay. So, and it's good. It really makes me happy to see the children getting on well. And you will know, I guarantee that we all know, in families close or extended, where people don't get on. We see that, and does that not grieve our mums and dads? Does that not grieve us? Listen, we've had Mother's Day last week, and it was really good, wasn't it? So great speakers, great day. You want to bless your mum and dad. You want to bless your mum and dad. Get on well with your siblings. Make every effort to heal those rifts that may have occurred, because that makes a difference. And it brings a smile and a joy to their heart. Distance and separation makes them sad. If you want to bless our Father in heaven, then let's make sure that we dwell together in unity well, that we make every effort to foster togetherness and unity, closeness, and be of one heart and one mind, because it's good and it's pleasant, and the Father loves it. Agreed? Absolutely. So it's good for us to be together, to be unified, and I wonder why we don't do it more. But do you know what? In this world, there are many problems. When we start, let's talk about some of the things that can cause separation and division. When we share the gospel through the three circles, we start by saying the world we live in is characterized by brokenness, broken relationships. And that is the world and the society that we do live in. I work in education. Those who work in the social services, those who work in medicine, those who work with people will know, because we see increasingly broken relationships and broken families, the impact it has on the families and the children and the generations. We're seeing it increasingly. You speak to anybody who works in these areas, but you don't even need to work in those areas. Again, for the vast majority of us, we can look at our families, those around us and in our world, and we see how broken relationship is breaking hearts and damaging people. It is a broken world. And that's what we as a church sit within. And they are the things that we carry with us into our world. And we can recognize that and see that brokenness. And we need to realize that actually, if we're going to be united, and if unity is going to matter, if stand together and closeness are going to matter, we've got to fight against those things that could cause division. In a church, there are many things that can cause division. And often they're things that masquerade as being noble ideals and good things. We can have our preferred... You might want to put that slide up. This isn't the next slide, thank you. This isn't a... That's a good slide, though. There we go. Okay, so maybe it's my preferred style of worship, my preferred songs or age of songs. Maybe it's my theological view. Sometimes having our own particular pet theology. Now, that sounds... We might not like that phrase, a theology that we believe to be true and is a different held view to other people. Maybe it's our view of how prayer should take place, how the church should be run, how small groups should operate, whether we should be with our friends or geographically located. Maybe that's a big thing for us. Maybe it's the way that women operate in church. Maybe it's something else that's nothing to do with that. Maybe it's a hurt, something somebody has said that's important to us, or something somebody hasn't said or done that fosters a hurt. Maybe it's just that plain independence that says, hey, I come, I go, I can take care of myself. Do you know, I really believe in preaching the gospel. I think you know I do, because that's what I talk about when I come here. And that can be the thing, because I want to focus on it, I want to give my energy to it, and that can become the thing. And what I can end up doing is standing underneath that. And that being the banner over my life could be preaching the gospel. We've got to share Jesus. We've got to do evangelism. I'm stood in a corner here. I'm trying to illustrate something. I want some people to come and stand under some things for me. If you consider yourself a... No, that's too risky. Clive, get up here. Jason, could you come? Clive, Jason, could you stand under that? Maybe you're in a certain social circle. Just go and get yourself underneath here. Jason, you stand under social circle. Maybe Jason's in a particular social circle that separates him out from others. Maybe Clive's particularly, stand under the worship there, Clive. Maybe Clive likes particular forms of worship. Phil, could you stand under theological view for us there, please? Maybe he's got a particular, I'm not pointing the finger here, only in the form of an illustration, of course. Phil's got a particular theological view. It's a bit busy on stage at the moment. We'll do the best we can. Al, come. Yeah, maybe Al's been hurt by something somebody has done or something somebody has said. Al, oh, look at that. Come on, boys. You're both welcome. There we go. Yeah, Al's a bit more hurt than the other one. Right, so, and never mind. Al, would you come and be independent, please? And come on. Oh, okay. Yeah. Which proves my point. Thank you. Thank you for that. Okay, so we haven't got much space there. And I'll stand under preaching the gospel. And these things can be a hallmark of what we say and what we think and the way that we act. Okay, it can become a big thing for us in the body of Christ. So what are we going to... Just stay here, guys. Try not to distract people while I carry on talking. Seriously, just stay put, please. So actually, these things can be good and right and true and real and genuine for people, But division leads to conquering. The phrase divide and conquer is a military term. I tried to track it back. I got as far as Philip of Macedonia. Dividing an organization to conquer them. Bring about division wherever we can. So division comes from without the church, and it's natural for us to form division in other ways for things that are important to us. What hope do we have? Well, we do have a hope, and it's not in a thing, it's in a person. The hope we have is in Jesus. There's an old song we used to sing. There is a voice that must be heard. There is a song that must be sung. There is a name that must be lifted high. Do you remember this? Good. There's a treasure more than gold. There's a king upon the throne. There's his one whose praise must fill the skies. His name is?
Jesus.
Friend of?
Jesus.
Friend of mine. His name is Jesus. And yours, Andy, don't worry. You can get twitchy. So his name is Jesus. He's a friend of sinners. He's the friend of mine. This is where we unite. The other stuff we may agree or disagree upon, this is where we unite. Please look, guys. Look, there's Jesus. Please would you all stand under the word Jesus. All stand under the word Jesus. Get in there. Get in there. There we go. That's it. Right. Don't let go. Right. They're not letting go. They're not letting go. And I just want to say, this is why I picked boys for this, all right? It could have been girls, but I didn't. Anyway, this is it. And I'm in here as well. I'm in here as well. Stay put. Because they've got to stay put, because if they let go, they separate. Unity means we've got to hold on. Is this easier? It's harder, isn't it? In truth, it's harder. But we unite under one name, and it's the name of Jesus. Thank you very much indeed. You can go now. You can go now. Okay. There we go. That was quite moving, wasn't it? There we go. Jesus said this. He said, I'm the gate. I'm the gate. You could come in, go out and find pasture, somewhere to feed. The narrow gate. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the light. No one comes to the Father except by me. You want to squeeze through a gate? You got to get close to people. Jesus is what unites us. When I look in the book of Acts about the things that united the early, I saw they're devoted to the apostles' teaching. What were they teaching about? They were ordinary, unschooled men. They're teaching about Jesus and everything he had taught them. I look in, let's put the next slide up, please. I look through the book of Acts in those early chapters. What they were preaching about the whole time was Jesus. They were preaching Jesus, the gospel, the resurrection, the Messiah. It was all about him. And ladies and gents, it needs to all be about him today. Yes? Jesus, he was on the tip of their tongue. He was on the forefront of their thinking. He occupied their time and their speaking. Because from the wellspring of the heart, the mouth speaks. What were they preaching? Jesus. Why? Because he sat at the center of their heart. They preached Jesus because he was everything. And you know, you may be still exploring your faith or the Christian faith. You might be new here today or even visiting. You may be asking questions. Let's make this central point. Jesus claimed to be the way to God. He made that point, the one and only way. Now, either he's right or he's wrong. And we would say, those of us who know him, say he's right and we've experienced it. We've experienced it. Ask me if my dad David died a few years ago. You ask me if he loved me, I'll tell you, you bet he does. You bet he did. How do I know? I just know him. I just knew him. We know that Christ is the way to the Father because we know him. Because we know him. And it's the truth. And if you're exploring, I would make this point to you. It's too important to leave it as a concept. Pursue this to the end. Seek God. Ask Jesus to show himself, and he will, and you'll know as well. Okay, so the central point of all things was Jesus. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. There's the vine and there's all the connections that are in it. That's us, grafted in, connected in, unified. If we want to see broken families restored, the only real hope is Jesus. If we want to see differences healed, the hope is in Jesus. If we want friendship cemented, if we want to draw the church together, The hope is Jesus. Could you take us back, please, to that slide before that? The hope is Jesus. This is the one place where we need to stand. Jesus said, I'm the head of the body. There's my head, there's my body. Not like you needed that explaining. But my body sits. I got this dodgy back thing which makes me twist. That's right, alignment. So when my back's okay, I'm in alignment and my body sits underneath my head. When my back is bad, I go out of alignment and my body doesn't sit under my head. As a church, we are only strong and healthy when we're aligned under Jesus. And so we need to pursue that. And I made that little list, and it could go on of things that might become a big thing for us that we would stand under. It would be the hallmark of our days and of our thinking, when really Jesus needs to stand there. We may feel that there's disunity, and I thank God because it's not like a major, we haven't got a huge big deal going on in Life Church with that. But you know what? It's an issue anywhere, and you may be aware of that. Sarah and I, the other day, were driving along the M60, Junction 6, towards Junction 8. And we noticed a traffic jam building up just before we joined it. So I thought, I'm not stupid. Let's go up to Carrington Spur, to the roundabout, and drop down and jump the queue. Yeah? And as we drove up there, I said to Sarah, this is odd. I wouldn't expect a traffic jam. I wonder what's causing it. We went around the roundabout, and as we start coming down, you can see it's being caused by all the people joining the motorway from the slip road that we're on. There's a metaphor in this. There's a metaphor in this for us. And sometimes the things that we are unhappy with, we see as problems. Once we stop and take a bit more of an elevated view, we look down and say, actually, I'm contributing to this problem that I'm not happy with. I'm contributing to this. Or more importantly, there's something I could do or could have done to help it, solve it. And not be, I'm pointing at you. I was driving. Okay, and not be like being selfish and try and jump the queue. Okay, and separate myself out from the problem. We want to be strong, don't we? We want to be united in Christ. And that's what we're going to be. It's going to require commitment. It's going to require us recognizing what's most important in our lives and making sure it's Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. There's many ways we could do a response to this or have a response to this. But what I felt would be appropriate, almost it would be daft when we're speaking on the subject of unity to have an individual and personal response to it. And yet there will be individual and personal unique things that we need to do ourselves. But this is what I would like us to do. Because when I read the chapter there, Acts 2:42, that little section in there, they speak twice about breaking bread. About breaking bread. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember Jesus. We've got to keep him at the forefront of our thinking, the tips of our tongues, right in the square in our hearts, the hallmark over our lives. And we do that when we remember him and all he's done. So I'd like us, as I finish speaking, I'd like us to break bread together. Now, breaking bread is a symbol of Jesus' broken body and his blood that was shed. The fact that we can share in that and be united in that. Now, if you haven't made a decision to make Jesus your king, to stand your life squarely underneath Jesus, if you haven't made that decision, we would ask you, fine, that's fine, because there's plenty of people in that position. Just don't get involved. Just sit and wait. Don't take the bread and the wine. Just sit and think about what's been talked about. Think about what God might want to say to you. But for everybody else, I would like us to break bread and do it in a slightly different way. I'd like to do something that's a bit of a metaphor and a bit of a picture. So what I'm going to ask us to do, and the band perhaps could come up now, thank you very much, could come up now. What we're going to do is, as the music is played, we can get out of our seats and we can go and collect a little glass of juice and a piece of bread. We've got the gluten-free bread is at this station here. We've got a station here at the back and in this corner. And this is the way I'd like us to do it. We normally go and get some of this stuff and go back to our places and hang around with the people we know. But what I thought would be a wonderful picture of what we're committing to would be if we were to get our little cup and our bit of bread and go across the room. Go and find some people who you would never normally be connected or unified or together with. Go and find somebody. A couple of people. Go in a pair if you feel more comfortable. Find a pair if you feel more comfortable. Let's make sure nobody who wants to be involved feels left out. Let's commit to unity in this body, and let's commit to being together, remembering Jesus' body and his blood broken for us as we go through this act together with people. But don't say, now obviously if, say, all of that row go to that side and all of that lot go to that, we'll be back to where we started. But I figure we could kind of work this out, can't we, what we're trying to achieve. So the musicians are going to play, and we're going to give us a few minutes to do this ourselves. Okay? I'm going to say a prayer before we do it. That's fine. Father, I want to thank you for your son, Jesus. I want to thank you that you make us a people. For the good things that are there as we unify and stand together and encourage one another. And Lord, we say sorry for the times when we've been separated and distant and even selfish. When we've allowed our hurts or ideas or independence to separate us out from others. But Jesus, this morning we want to come, we want to stand under the banner that is your name. We want to be aligned under you, under the head as a body. And we want to, as a picture, Lord, we want to go and find brothers and sisters and be united in this ceremony as we remember you. I pray, Lord, that you'll convict us personally if there's people we need to fix things with, people we need to say things with, if there's healing that needs to take place in relationships, that we wouldn't let that go, but that later we'd go and deal with that. But right now, we want to honor you, Lord Jesus, your death and your sacrifice as we go through this ceremony together. Amen. Amen.